Here we are in 1 Timothy, and I think understanding that it's the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. And you say it's for pastors. Well, amen, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. And I think it's given for church members also so that you can know what's expected of a pastor and you can know the purpose of church. And so I think if everybody knows it, then amen, we can all work and pray and thank the Lord for what we have. But we learned in chapter 1, it's interesting, the first thing God teaches a man of God is how to deal with troublemakers in the church. To do what? Keep the doctrine straight. 1 Timothy 1:5, right? Charge them that they teach no other doctrine. The key job of a pastor is to keep the doctrine straight of a church. And that's why I've told people, when you're looking for a church, you can read their doctrinal statement, you can read the Constitution, but you really don't know what that church believes until you talk to the pastor. And if you really, and somebody said, well, you know, about 5 years ago, somebody was saying, all churches are the same. And I said, no, they're not all the same. And a church is the way it is because the pastor is the way he is. Right? And so I think that's important. Doctrine is vital to a church. And it's the pastor's job to make sure that the doctrine stays straight. And when a church goes wanky, it's because the pastor didn't do what he was told. All right? So that's chapter 1, warring, a good warfare. We've spent about 5 weeks on that, trying to understand that. That's very important. And so here is we, isn't it interesting? Verse 1 of chapter 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession. It's not the most important thing in a church, but he says to a pastor, in other words, what's the pastor's job? Keep the church straight. How to deal with troublemakers, how to deal with false doctrine, how to keep that out of the church. But it says the first thing a pastor is supposed to teach the people, first of all, is prayer. But then a specific type of prayer for, watch this, it says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Semicolon, right? For kings and for all that are in authority. I know you've heard me teach on this before, but let me just rehash it, okay? So God tells a pastor, teach the people to pray for the king or whoever's in authority, our government, that we may do what? Lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. God says to a pastor, teach the people to pray that we can freely serve God. You know what we pray? We're supposed to pray that they leave us alone. You say, now, I think the application of this, out of all the problems, you say, but we've got a lot of problems in America, and we've got this and this and this, and we've got a lot of dangers with this. Then you can either gripe about what's wrong, or you can be praying that they leave us alone. The first lockdown, everybody knows, was test. That was a test. It was to see how the public would respond in the name of safety and all of that. That was a test. Lockdowns are coming again. And this time, it's going to get real. It's going to be much more than it was last time. Okay? You say, well, what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm planning on not shutting down church, but until we get there, we're supposed to be praying, Lord, please help us lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And you want to know one of the most amazing things about history? In the past 2,000 years, only in the last two since America have Christians been able to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Somebody said, what's the greatest contribution America has made to the world? Religious freedom. And there was no religious freedom until America. You had to tithe to the state church. You had to attend the state church till America. And we learned that freedom of religion is the basis for freedom of society. So as our freedoms in society go down, guess what? So does our freedom of religion, right? Just the thought, COVID was a war on Christianity, okay? How could you leave tattoo parlors and abortion clinics and Walmart open, but say churches have to close because they're non-essential. Really, but an abortion clinic is, where you kill babies. It was a war on Christianity. It wasn't, but it was all that you'll notice this next time when it happens, it'll be done in the name of safety, because we care about you, right? So if they can eliminate churches, then they can eliminate where people get hope, right? You either live in fear and run, or you trust God and keep going forward. Churches were reminded, right, to trust God. I said that to say, yeah, I think you ought to know what's going on. I don't think you should bury your head in the sand. I think you can get too much news, and you'll notice the more news you listen to without the good news, the Bible, the less you'll care about people and the more frustrated you'll get, and you'll lose your burden for souls. You can only handle so much of the news. Amen? DNC this week. Who's going to watch that? Probably nobody. I hope it gets watched like the Olympics. Amen? I can gripe about it. You say, but yeah, it's just absolutely amazing. Okay, take the like. And the reason I'm hitting this is because I could gripe that Kamala Harris hasn't accomplished anything. And it's amazing she's got her position without one vote. But she says everything's supposed to be done in the name of democracy. You know what I mean? And then she chooses a communist, a Chinese-trained communist, Walls, as her running mate. Okay? The things he did in Minnesota, saying every boy's bathroom has to have female hygiene stuff put in it, he's a wicked man. Amen? So watch this. We could gripe about Harris and Walls and how filthy they are, a bunch of nasty perverts, demon-possessed. I mean, we can just go off on it. Or they're probably going to win. You better be bracing for that. Did I say I want them to win? The system's broke, though. The election was stolen in 2020, and it'll probably be stolen again, right? It doesn't matter. Votes don't matter anymore. I'm voting, okay? I'm voting for Trump, okay? Who cares, right? But I think you should vote, too, okay? Don't not vote. Vote while you can, right? This might be the last election. Who knows, okay? I said that to say I can either gripe about it or I can be praying, dear God, with what's coming, please help us live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Because there is a lot of stuff coming down the pike, right? I don't care if it's a financial collapse. I don't care if it's, okay, here, let's take one more. Shall we take one more public issue? Okay, ready? In 4 years, they're estimating, and this is a low number, that 15 million have come over the border. Okay? When we talk to the ICE agent, it's interesting, my wife and I bought a table from someone up, I can't remember, it was up in the Hughesville area. The lady that we bought the table from worked for Washington with ICE, okay? Immigration, right? It was 4 years ago, wasn't it? It was real close to, we asked her, I said, is the border as bad as the news says it is? She said, I've been a border, over the border, dealing with the numbers. I think she said for like 16 years or something like this. She said, this year, first year of Biden, she said, it's up 900%. I never forgot that. That's somebody that works in Washington. She says, I deal with those numbers and what's coming across. And she said, and that's just the ones we're seeing. So take that. 20 million people hear from countries, 93 different countries, and most of them hate us. Okay? They're not all from Mexico. I think everybody knows that. 5 divisions of Chinese soldiers are here. China's buying up land. You say, how come you're saying that? I think you ought to know a little bit of what's going on, but I can either gripe about, I think the invasion is here. All they're waiting, those backpacks they're coming with, they already said they don't even inspect them. They're filled with weapons, body armor, all of that. China is sending soldiers here. Okay? So, you say, what does that mean? Name, you know, my dad will tell you, my mom was into our genealogy. I think all of us are somewhere along the lines related to immigrants, right, that came here legally. So immigration isn't our problem. I just have a problem with them letting people in. They give them cards. Did you know each immigrant gets 2,000 more than what you get on Social Security or welfare? I think it's 2,604. That number, they give every immigrant that much money. Some families are getting up to $10,000 right when they get here. You say, why is all that important? You can't keep giving money away. Michigan just said, Whitmer just said, all illegals get free licenses, free insurance. And I think there's one other thing that Whitmer just declared from Michigan. And boy, we're watching things happen. Now watch. I didn't say that to depress you. I said that's what's happening. You can either gripe about it because there's nothing you're going to do that'll change it, right? Or you could pray. Remember, first of all, be praying, because when this hits the fan, the invasion is here. They have weapons, okay? It's going to be a takeover. You say, when? I don't know. I don't want to say I don't care, because I do, but I can either be, look, God didn't send me to America, and God didn't save me to save America. I wasn't sent here to turn our government around or to turn. God didn't tell me that. God's going to answer that question here in the next three verses after this. But the first thing we're told to do, if it bothers you what's going on, and it should, how much do you pray about it? How much do you ask God, please help me to keep serving you? Here, I'll give you a good thing with the immigration. I remember when Brother Duke was here, the missionary to Mexico, and I said, What's the best way to learn Spanish? He said, look and see. Oh, look and say it, right? The book, Look and Say It. He said, get that book, and that teaches you Spanish the best way. Why am I interested in that? Nothing I can do. But have you talked to construction people? Ask Brother Butler. Ask Brother Wilkins, who was a construction person in this. He said, 20 years ago, construction here died. Do you know why? Because all the immigrants are over the bridge, 22 miles from here. They come here and work, and you can't make money in construction here because of immigration. Illegal immigrants, okay? Have you seen the construction crews? Hola. Hey, senor, good to see you. Want some tacos? You say, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. I suggest, though, what were we put here to do? Win the lost. We got that many Spanish people and all that. Pick a language then and start learning it so you can witness to them. Amen. If they're coming here, right, for the invasion. As a Christian, my view, I'm not put here to save America. First of all, pastor, teach your people. That's why I'm going to tell you again. Whatever, okay, here, you want to talk finances? Let's do this, because this, then I'll quit, okay? In 4 years of Biden being president, they said 80% of all the money that's ever been printed in America has been 80% has been printed in the last 4 years. That's why our debt is what? $36 trillion. And it's not stopping. You can't. Something's going to happen. Okay? The debt, you can't live that way. Okay? So, with whatever's coming, I can either gripe about it, or I should be praying for those in power. Dear God, all that's coming down the pike, please help me be faithful and help us live quiet and peaceable lives. Help them to leave us alone, please, so that we can serve you faithfully. Right? That's supposed to be our mindset. And if we aren't careful, you say, Pastor, I think I'm depressed. Okay? I didn't tell you all that to depress you. I think you should know what's going on. But your attitude shouldn't change, right? We were put here, watch this. With that in mind, lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You're supposed to be praying. What does your prayer list look like? That's why in ours, we've got the officials of the area, right? And then we've got, however Maryland lays it out, I know it's a complicated system, it's a little different, but that's why they're on the prayer sheet. You're supposed to be praying for them, right? Christian, pray. Then, notice the emphasis God gives here. After he tells us what to pray and how to pray and who to pray for, look at verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Watch, semicolon, it doesn't end there, who will have all men to be saved. So isn't that interesting? God doesn't tell you to pray that the king and those in authority will get saved. I don't think it's bad, but God doesn't tell us to pray that. We're to pray that we can leave, they'll leave us alone so that we can do what? Get the gospel out, because God wants all men to be saved. What's the most important thing we do? Soul winning. Knocking on doors. The church, we're supposed to be a lighthouse, right? To the area. We're supposed to, praise the Lord, two people got saved this morning. That's wonderful. That's what, in a free society where there's capitalism, which is going down, but in a free society, that's easy to see. In a communist nation, in China, people get saved, but it's hard to see, right? Because it's supposed to be underground. Here, while we live in a free society, enjoy it, right? That's our purpose. God wants all men to be saved, right? Because that's our purpose. Everybody seeing the connection there? That's why I think everybody, look, you can gripe about Biden, okay? He doesn't care. He doesn't even know where he's at, okay? Or you can pray. You want to know an interesting verse with the election coming out? Here, go to the separation of church and state chapter in your Bible, which is Romans 13. Watch this. Romans 13. Romans 13. We'll come right back here to 1 Timothy 2. I think when you're teaching on the government or politics or whatever, yeah, point out, watch this. Look at first Romans 13. Look at verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers or the authorities that be are ordained or put there of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. God doesn't want any of us living in anarchy, right? But the end of verse 1, the powers that be are ordained of God. Do you know who's going to win the election in November? The one God ordains. Do you know who's going to be ordained? Set in power. That's what the word ordained means, right? You know who's going to be ordained? The president America deserves. Out of Bill Clinton, draft dodging, saxophone playing, immoral, wicked man. How'd he get put in the White House? Because he's the president America deserves. How'd Obama get there? Nasty people put policies in place that destroy. God put them there. The powers that be are put there of God. And one person, one preacher made a statement a long time ago. He said, give a nation a long time, long enough, and they'll eventually get the president they deserve. How come Biden's a big do-nothing waste? He's the president America deserves. And you do need to understand, God put him there. And the next one, God will allow them to be there. Right? So what are we supposed to do for them? Pray that they leave us alone. Dear God, help us keep soul winning. Dear God, help us to be a lighthouse in the area. God, we know you want all people saved. So Lord, if we get to talk to immigrants, Lord, help us use those Spanish tracts. And Lord, when you send somebody deaf here, help us to use those deaf tracts. And Lord, help us to keep passing out. God, dear God, help us be faithful. Right? Now, go back to 1 Timothy. I think that's important to understand. That's why I don't mind. I understand griping. We all get frustrated with the. How could you not get frustrated knowing how they opened the Olympics? Okay, bunch of nasty pedophile perverts. Okay, I don't care. I haven't watched the Olympics in so long. I could care less, honestly. And yet, don't gripe. I understand we'll get frustrated, but don't forget to pray. Don't forget to lift it up to God. God knows what's going on. God sees it all. And God told us what to do. You know what the word supplicate means when you go to 1 Timothy 2:1? Supplications, that means to rub, right? How do you make leather soft or supple? You rub the oils in it, right? Well, how do you do that in prayer? You take something, you take the issue that you're praying over, and you supplicate, or you beg God for it, and you, Lord, please work in this. You take that situation and you supplicate. Supplications, intercessories, right? And all prayers for all men, okay? Interceding going on behalf of, right? Christian, is the government, are those in power on your prayer list? When was the last time you prayed for President Biden? When was the last time you prayed for our township and those in charge, whatever? When is the last time? What Harris say in her first 100 days, she's going to do an executive order to do a mandate gun buyback, right? She's going to confiscate guns. I think it's going to be a mess, but amen. Go for it, twinkle toes. Do you know who'll prevent that from happening? Who's the only person in our county that keeps the sheriff? He has more power than the president, right? Right? Do you know who the sheriff is? Do you pray for him? Amen. I'm just saying that's what God tells us to do, right? So I don't mind the griping. We're all going to gripe. We're all going to get frustrated. But just, Christian, don't forget to pray, because you're missing the whole boat. Now, go look at verse number 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. And then God tells you how simple it is to be saved. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one hand that's taking God's hand and taking man's hand and putting there's only one that can save you, right? Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to be saved, and God wants all men to be saved, and we're God's voice in the community, the church is, right? That's why we hand out gospel tracts. Verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, if we took one doctrinal issue here, look at verse 4, who will have all men to be saved. Look at verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all. Okay? So who did Jesus die for? Everyone. There is so much on the internet. Have I told you recently how the internet frustrates me? Okay, that's a joke. All right. There is most of the religious stuff and sermons found on the internet, not all, but most of it's Calvinism. TULIP, T-U-L-I-P, the acronym. Right, total depravity, and then unconditional election and limited atonement, TULIP. That's their doctrinal hold. Bodhi Beecham, John MacArthur, Sproul. Most of what's on the internet is intellectual Calvinism. We learned about Calvinism. I won't go into it again. If you want to learn about Calvinism, we have 3 sermons on the internet that'll teach you about Calvinism. But Calvinism teaches that some people are predestined to heaven and there's nothing they can do about it, and some people are predestined to hell and there's nothing they can do about it. What a horrible thing to teach people when the Bible says Jesus died for all. Jesus wants to save everyone. Now, is everybody going to get saved? No. But they teach Jesus only died for those he wants to go to heaven. He didn't die for all. That whole stupid teaching. And it appeals to that intellectual slough of, the apologetics, and then they're going to get into it. The whole doctrine, John Calvin revived Augustinism, Augustine of Hippo, right, 460 A.D., revived a lost man's doctrine, who instituted baby baptism. Predestination comes from Augustine. Augustine has been burning in hell for almost 2,000 years, I think 1,600 years. Calvin, John Calvin, 1,000 years later, revived a lost man's teaching, and the whole thing's based on one word that's not found in the Bible, the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. Everything's going according to God's pace and God's course. But that word sovereign is not found in your Bible. Who's the small g god of this world right now? Satan. Right? 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan's the small g god of this world. We're in the times of the Gentiles. It starts with gold, ends with mud. Right? Clay. Wheel spinning mud. It's going to get dark and bloody. Jesus already told that, and Daniel didn't even know what he was writing. But we learn it, right? I said that to say, Calvinism is a false teaching that is mostly on the internet. That's why if you don't know what you're doing and who you're listening to, and they quote Bible verses. But they never quote the whole verse. They called Calvinism, or the doctrine of predestination, that people are predestined to heaven. Isn't that wild? So if somebody is supposed to get saved, This is what they teach. Even if they don't want to, they have to. Doesn't that sound goofy? And then there are some that are predestined to hell, and even if they want to get saved, they can't. They have to go to hell because that's how God created them in His sovereignty. That false teaching is all over the internet. And I guess it could make logical sense, but there's nothing. They call Calvinism the doctrine that's always looking for a text because it's nowhere found. It's nowhere in the New Testament. But it's always, boy, they got the Bible verses. Let's look at a few things, and I'm watching the time, but watch this. Just to show you how foolish this teaching is, look at, you're there in 1 Timothy, look at chapter 4, verse 10. Ready? For there, 1 Timothy 4:10, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of who? All men, especially those that believe. Jesus was my Savior before I trusted Him, but I still had to trust Him. He died for all men, but when you trust Him is when He becomes your Savior. But He's the one who makes salvation possible for all men, right? Isn't it a wonderful thing? There's nobody you'll ever meet in your life that God doesn't want saved. There's no person you'll ever talk to that God wants to go to hell. Now, they may reject the gospel, and they will go to hell. That's the sad part about witnessing. But isn't it wonderful to know there's nobody that God wants to go to hell? That's why Jesus died for all of them, right? Notice the word all, and let's look at a few more verses here. Watch this. Go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 2 and look at verse 1. Ready? Here we go. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, when ye get saved, we have an advocate or someone who pleads our case with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Notice the colon, it's not a period. Verse 2, and He, Jesus Christ, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for also for the sins of the whole world. What a wonderful verse. So Jesus just didn't die for our sins. That stupid teaching, Jesus only died for those who will trust Him. And then the rest. No, Jesus, that's why you go to hell. Jesus died for everybody. You chose not to trust Jesus who died for you. Therefore, that's why you're going to hell. Not because you were predestined, amen, to go to hell. God would have all men to be saved. Take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 11 and verse 32. Romans, just a few more verses here. Romans chapter 11, look at verse 32. Ready? For God hath concluded them, Israel, all in unbelief, watch, that He might have mercy upon all. What wonderful words. God said, I want all people saved. Does everybody see the order of what's happening here? God says, you Christians in church, you pray for those that are in power, that they'll leave you alone. If it does get oppressive, we're still supposed to go soul winning, but it'll be harder, won't it? Remember what they were talking about last COVID? Report those that aren't wearing a mask and report those that aren't doing this. Yeah, you'll have to pass out tracts and witness to people, and people get real paranoid, oh, don't give me germs and all this other stuff. It'll get harder, but it doesn't change what we're supposed to do. So pray for those in power that they leave us alone so that we can do what? Get as many people saved as possible so that we can keep on witnessing. Amen. Did you know in China, you can't, no missionaries allowed to enter there. They have to go there as English teachers, right? Because you're not allowed to talk about Jesus. The only way, and who was it? We had, I've heard several missionaries talk about it. The only way in China, because it's communist, right? The only way you can get a conversation going is if they ask you. You aren't supposed to ask, hey, have you heard about Jesus? Or what do you believe about the Bible? You're not allowed to ask any of that. And then they have people that come up to them to test them, to where if you start the conversation, they immediately report you. And then you go to jail and nobody ever hears of you again. They put you in a cell. They give you drugs that fry your mind, and you laugh at cartoons until you go bye-bye. do the same thing in Cambodia. They did the same thing. I'm just saying they do the same thing in North Korea. So right now it's easy to give the gospel, right? When we go out soul winning on Saturday, praise God. No threat right now of it being stopped. Use your freedom while you can. Use your freedom for the Lord, to serve the Lord, right? So that's the plea of 1 Timothy. Pray for those. The government needs to be on your prayer list. You need to be asking God so that we can get people saved. Let's pursue this a little bit more here. That was Romans. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:14. Ready? 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, colon, and that he died for who? All. Wow. I just love the, I just think it's just, it's wonderful as a Christian to know God could have given the gospel himself, but no angel is supposed to do that, and God won't give the gospel. Who did he choose to give the gospel to? Us. He put us. So what's it take to get somebody saved? A saved sinner talking to a lost sinner is what God's plan has been to get people saved. You say, well, if they want to get saved, they'll go to church. But most of the people in the Bible weren't saved in church. Amen? You can go through the list. Zacchaeus was saved up in a tree. I mean, we can do all of that. God actually put you and me in the equation to get people saved. And God wants all people saved. Here we go. God, Jesus, He died for all. How about this? Here we go. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. It is interesting. They've never prosecuted a church for bringing up politics and telling them who to vote since. Okay, there's no, and you know where that, you know, if a church brings up, like, vote for this person, but don't vote for this, they can lose their tax-exempt status. That happened in 1954 when Byrd, Senator Byrd from West Virginia, nasty person. I remember my wife and I were on vacation when they announced Byrd finally died. I pulled the van over to the side of the road and I was like, woohoo, at any rate. My wife will tell you. Senator Byrd from West Virginia got so angry that Eisenhower in the 50s got elected by church recommendation that he filed a bill and they put it into law that churches from since 1954 on are not allowed to mention political things. And if you give a political bias, you can lose your tax-exempt status. They've never prosecuted a church on that. But do you know what that did with preachers on politics? Shut them up. What happens when you lose the church voice? I think a good pastor should always know the laws and the Bible. And you should know if they're coming against, right? So he can help the people. But it shut up preachers all across the land. Well, we don't want to lose our tax-exempt status. We don't want our tithes getting taxed. That was 1954. And preachers have shut up ever since. And has it done good or bad to our country? It's done evil. Evil has come from it. So I don't get tied up in it. It doesn't bother me. You know, we're in a little country church here. God's the only one that doesn't have to use a GPS to find us. That's funny. Okay. But we're out here in the country, and I have no problem. I have no problem with it. I think the only person about the opinion of politics that I want is a Bible-reading Christian. I don't care what other people think about it. I want to know what somebody who loves God and loves the Bible, I want to know what they think. Amen. The rest of them, lost people, I don't care what their opinion is. Here, look at 2 Peter chapter 2, a very sobering verse. Watch verse 1, and just a precursor on this, two chapters in your Bible are dedicated to teach you how to recognize false teachers. 2 Peter 2 and Jude, right? So, God says, you want to know who a false teacher is? These are the traits they have. And notice when 2 Peter 2 starts, he points out this is the first trait of a false teacher. Watch here. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Talking to Christians in the church. who privily or privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that, what? Bought them. So God said, it's amazing. People who would come into a church and teach false doctrine and hurt God's people, right, as a false teacher. They teach damnable heresies. They teach denying the Lord. God bought them too, as well as you if you're saved. That's amazing. Now, they're going to die and go to hell, but they still deny the Lord that died for them, right? So, 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Ready? Turn over a chapter. Watch this. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, watch, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isn't it wonderful to know? Ezekiel 33:11 says, God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. God says, I don't want anybody to go to hell. Praise God. God doesn't get his jollies out of throwing people into hell. God wants everybody saved. They say that's why the Lord's coming is waiting. The longer God waits to call us home, the more people can get saved, right? But God's not willing that anybody die and go to hell. But he wants all. That's because he died for all. Here we go. One, I'll tell you what. Go to Hebrews. You're in 2 Peter. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Ready? Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Here we go. Look at verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. What a wonderful truth. Jesus died for everybody. And there are some who reject God. They don't want anything to do with the Bible. But there's others. The reason they'll die and go to hell is because nobody told them. Right? That's our job. Right? And Jesus tasted death. But isn't it wonderful to know there's nobody you'll ever meet that God wants to go to hell. Every person you'll ever talk to, God wants saved. Amen? Let's look at one more verse. You say, you always say that. I'm not kidding you. One more verse. Amen. Go to Isaiah, Old Testament. Look at Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 53. And I think you'll see it real plain here, but here's an Old Testament verse. Okay. Watch this, and then I'll tell you another application. Ready? Here we go. Look at verse 6. Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And then watch. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I know I've said this 10 times, but who did Jesus die for? He died for everyone. He just didn't die for people who were going to heaven. And what a horrible, you know, where this will send chills down your spine is I've only witnessed to one person in my years, that said, I can't get saved. They went to a Calvinist church and they were told from the pulpit, you can't get saved, you're predestined to hell. You know what they do? They take out a checkboard, a clipboard, a tablet, right? They take out a tablet, and that was a joke. Okay, and then they start saying, have you committed this? Have you committed this? Oh, you've done this, then you can't be saved. That all comes from, if you've actually done this, then you're predestined to hell, and you can't get saved even if you want to. Wouldn't that send chills down your spine if you showed somebody Jesus loves you and doesn't want you to go to hell, and all you have to do is place your faith in him? I can't get saved because somebody told me I'm predestined to hell. What a horrible doctrine. What a horrible thing to teach people. It hurts people. I think since I've been here for 10 years, I've watched Calvinism. We've had several families come to our church from churches that are turning Calvinistic. And all comes out of Lynchburg and Jerry Falwell's old place. And now Bob Jones is so Calvinistic, they can't even see straight. It kills every church it touches. But boy, it sounds good. It's so intellectual. And boy, it appeals to the... It's garbage. And you should know, praise God, Jesus died a ransom for all. What a wonderful verse. I'll just rehash. God says, that's our job. So pray for the government that they'll leave us alone. Christian, be praying. Amen. That no matter what tomorrow holds or next week holds, we can be faithful. Amen. Father, thank you for your precious word. Lord, you said, first of all, the first thing on our list to do is to pray for those over us and in authority. Dear God, please use this truth and help us so that we can live a quiet and peaceable life and serve you in all godliness and honesty. And we can be used by you more. Help us to use our freedoms for you. And Lord, with the insanity that we're watching happen, Lord, we know everything is on chart. But Lord, please help us to be faithful. We love you and we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. We'll have the piano play and we'll have a short altar call.